All right.
Yeah, so I just want me to go ahead and cut in the intro and then and then you'll just take over.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of our podcast of The Hive is Live. So this is The Hive With Us podcast. Today we're interviewing an amazing I guess he's one of our mentors now. His name is Charles. He's out of California, and his main thing right now, I think, maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, bud, but is digital products. You know, so when Daniel first, when they connected on Twitter, Daniel says, hey, I met this guy. He does digital. I think you got to see this. You got to see this mastermind. And I'm like, no, I hate mastermind. I ain't trying to go to no mastermind. I don't get any value out of them. It's because I'm so busy coming up with my own ideas and running so fast that, like, it's hard for me to absorb somebody else's content and information and ideas. But when I popped on the podcast, I was like, wait a minute, something's going on here. The vibe was cool. The energy was cool. And we immediately, you know, we thought we weren't going to launch Hivemind for about a year. But once we got around Charles, we said, you know what, we're launching today. And Charles, I think he's Mr. Take Action. So we're excited for you guys to meet him today. But thanks for being on here, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to the conversation.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background? I know a lot of people think you're an overnight success, but I know you've been grinding for years. So can you tell us about your background? I know you recently just quit your job in the last like 12 months. Can you kind of go into that?
Yeah, so I would say that I've kind of always grown up an achiever, or somebody looking to achieve things, somebody who's been ambitious and driven, and I just have seen that in my household. So I grew up on a college campus. I tell a lot of people, my mom, she was a single mom, but she was working her day job, but she was at San Diego State studying to be an accountant in the evenings. And then when she wasn't taking classes, she was at the library on weekends. And so I've always just kind of known that we get out there and we get it, we grind, we wake up, we hit the ground running. It's not a whole lot of just sitting around talking about what's hard or what's expensive or what we can't do. And so as I grew up, I kind of adopted that same mentality. I knew I was going to college from like seventh grade, because again, I grew up on a college campus, so college was just what we do. And I was an avid, so to have you going on those field trips and doing all those kind of cool things, and ended up going to college, doing the college thing, majoring in finance, which kind of pulled me out of my immediate circle. So I was in a frat, Phi Beta Sigma, but a lot of the people in the frat weren't majoring in finance. They were just kind of trying to get by. They was kind of trying to just get out. Whatever their degree was is what their degree was, but it kind of put me on a different path that separated me from a lot of other people. After college, ended up working as a financial advisor. So I got my Series 7, my Series 66, and I started kind of seeing how money worked. I started seeing how the wealthy moved their money. I started seeing how the wealthy like invested their money. And I just kind of sparked my interest in learning more about that. And so I just dove in head first, reading crazy books. Of course, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Cash Flow Quadrants, Think and Grow Rich, that kind of stuff. I've read everything, just kind of digging in and diving into that, like that space. And then from there, I ended up working as a private client banker. So as a private client banker with Chase, it was a little bit easier because your clients are just kind of handed to you. Where at Edward Jones, as a financial advisor, you got to go and build your own client base. You have to prospect, you have to, and they didn't really even teach you how to kind of what they call like qualify your client. I think they call it something different, but essentially what you're doing is you're talking to this person. You're saying, okay, well, where else do you bank? What kind of balances do you have there? What kind of money are you bringing in per month in your business, blah, 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 to really get an overall scope of this person. But when I was working at Chase, it's all there for you. Like you're literally just looking at the person, you can look at all their accounts. And so it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel in that space. But what I took from that is I was still studying. So you had access to the accounts. So I'm looking at these wealthy people and I'm looking at how they structure their accounts. And that was when I first realized like wealthy people don't really keep a lot of money in their checking accounts. They keep it mostly either in their savings accounts, their investment accounts, their CDs, their business. But I always assumed that wealthy people are just these people with these fat checking accounts. And so my mindset kind of started to shift to start thinking more investing. And I just dug into the space. I learned a lot. I saw how a lot of people work together, kind of like in a hive. Like you have these people who are working together, who are sharing resources, who are sharing knowledge. And those are the people that were getting ahead. And so my mindset is like, okay, that's what we have to do if we want to get ahead. The individual stuff is going to make you struggle. It's going to make things take a lot longer. While I was there, they had a lot of restrictions when you work in that space. You can't be in investment clubs. You can't tweet about things. You can't post things on social media. They really restrict and confine what you do. And it kind of, it was unfortunate because then you can only go to them to really achieve success. Ended up leaving that, went into to law, went to law school, finished law school. The problem is I was struggling to pass the bar. And so I did all this work to get through law school thinking, yeah, when I'm done with law school, I'm gonna make so much money. And nobody would pay me what I wanted to get made because I hadn't passed the bar yet. So I literally had went through law school. If I would have just stayed on my finance path and not gone to law school, maybe got an MBA, I'd have been making double what I was making. But I decided to be the smart guy and go to law school thinking I'm gonna come out and be a rich lawyer, and just didn't pan out. So I had to figure out a way to still be rich. Cause that was the goal. I was like, I didn't do all this stuff to not be rich. I got to get rich. And so I started building a business on the side of my career in law. I was working in different law firms. I worked at a family office actually before I went to law school. It was kind of like quasi in-house counsel. Another experience where I got to see a different level of wealth. So my whole life has just been like this rolling, getting to deal with wealthier and wealthier people. I went from financial advising to private banking to now at a family office, working with somebody who was worth $200 million. And working on crazy transactions, just like insane deals. It's my mindset's just evolving the entire time, but I'm like, I gotta get rich. It's like, I'm seeing everybody else get rich. I gotta get rich. I gotta start applying these principles. So built the company, started just giving a ton of value away. Eric Thomas always says, discover your gift, refine your gift, and then just give it away. Give it away. I tell people it's called a brand footprint. You gotta get those samples out into the world because people have to know that you're real. They have to know you're legit. Then they have to know that you're gonna deliver on the promises that you put out into the world. What better way to do that than by lowering the barrier of entry so low that anybody's going to want to deal with you? So we did that, gave out a bunch of free content, podcasts, blogs, social media, lives, webinars, just value, 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 value. And then when the pandemic hit, we got a chance to cash in on that value because people were just sitting at home. They had nothing but free time and free money. And they were just like, here, take my money. I want to learn how to do what you're doing. And it kind of just all worked out from there.
That's awesome. Again, man. So can you, I guess Daniel has a better understanding of what your background is. So as far as I know, like I said, you gave us a good overview now of how you got there, but can you go into the digital products a little bit? Like you mentioned that it has to be a super low barrier of entry. You know, in my mind, I'm guessing like that's kind of like what we're doing with Hivemind, is to just build the biggest audience or group, right? I think you've had a tweet that said something like your biggest asset is your client base or something like that.
So I would say that, how do I put it? I didn't even really know what I was stepping into. I was just doing a bunch of different things. And so a long time ago, I got approached by a brother. He had his own online real estate school. And I had been doing some real estate investing. We specifically invest in real estate long distance. So I live in Southern California, but we invest in the Midwest. We invest in Detroit. And so what I found is once you figure something out, you can kind of teach it. And so I figured out how to successfully invest in a different state. And they say that you don't necessarily have to do something that nobody's ever done. It just has to be remarkable. It has to be something that's like, okay, that was cool. Because a lot of people that were in my market, California, they're just like, oh, we can't invest in real estate. We're just going to just work our job and just wait and be patient. I wasn't satisfied with that. I was like, let me go out here and figure out a way to invest in real estate, to get these rental properties, to get these deals, to do these flips. Because even doing a flip in Southern California is crazy. It can be intimidating. Like, yeah, the numbers might make sense, but you're out there taking $500,000 loan out to do a deal and then take another $250,000 to rehab it. Yeah, the ARV might support it, but not a lot of folks are giving some dude who's never done anything like that, let alone even has even anything close to that money in the bank, $750,000 to do a flip on his first one. So we went out of state. But anyway, what I did is I taught people how to invest long distance. And I was doing that. And interestingly enough, I think my first course was actually how to invest as a group, because we were putting together to people to buy homes as a group because we were buying homes in the Midwest. We just said, hey, let's pull together what we have so we can own these homes and we rent them. They appreciate in value. Almost everything we bought has substantially increased in value because the Detroit market is just so different now than what it was years ago. And it's still improving. There's still a lot of areas that are being improved, a lot of money and efforts going into the city. So everything we own is just up in value. So I ran into a conflict where I had seen some success. I created a whole new course. And I came to the guy and I was like, hey, if I'm going to give you this new course, I don't want to get paid for my time. I want a percentage of the upside. If I'm going to give you this and you're going to go sell it infinite amount of times, I don't want just the money for my hour, if that makes sense. So you're not going to pay me, let's say it was $1,000 and you go make $100,000. And we had a conflict. We're still friends to this day, but we just had a business disagreement. And I think it's dope that we are still friends to this day and nobody took it personal. And then I just put that on my own platform. So I put it out there and I said, you know what? I'm going to just sell this on my own platform. I found Gumroad and I started selling it. And then I was like, you know what? I have more information than people want to know. I've spent a lot of money on my education, law school, undergrad, half of an MBA that I need to finish. I've invested a lot of money into my education. Let me go ahead and give it to the people. So I created probably another course, but I think I just created the options course. Created the options course. I priced it at like $400-$500. And it was getting sales, but it wasn't really getting sales. I realized my best days were on $50 Fridays. I could literally go quiet for the whole week, maybe get a sale or two, and then $50 Friday, boom, I can make $2,000 in a day. And I never made $2,000 in a day. I was over here making $1,000 a week, maybe on the job. And so for me, I was like, whoa, there's something to this whole affordable thing. And I was looking across the aisle, across the Twitter aisle, and I saw that Chris was posting crazy numbers. Chris was like, oh yeah, I just made $50,000 last week. Oh yeah, I made $60,000 last week. Oh yeah, I'm probably about to make $100,000 this week.
You met him on Twitter?
I looked at what he was doing, and I noticed everything was crazy affordable. Everything was like $30, $40. And so I was like, there has to be a connection between affordability and big numbers. Think about it. A lot of people, they're like, oh, well, I'm high ticket, I'm high value. I'm like, I'm high value too, but I like $50,000 a whole lot better than $2,000. That's the high value I want. A lot of people, they're like, I'm going to sell my course for $2,000 and that's it. If you want to buy $2,000, you broke or whatever. And I'm like, I tried that game. I had high ticket courses out there and high ticket courses only. And I realized I wasn't getting the Chris numbers. And so what I did is I took my $300, $400 course and I dropped it down to $97 and I started promoting it. And that's where I started to see the crazy numbers. It's because I took my high ticket and I made it high value. It's still high. It's still worth what it's worth. But now I just dropped the price. So now it's a no brainer. You got to make it a no brainer for people to give you money. You don't want them to have to think about it, to ponder it, to have to like, oh, well, should I don't know. Like, no, like I'm going to give you $100 to make $500 every single day. And if you can do that, you can make money from every single person. But the cool thing about it is digital products. I always tell people this, no overhead, no shipping, no storage, no nothing. Everything is profit. So if I can make 5 sales in a day and you make 0 sales, you might be maybe like 1 sale a month or a week. I'm going to come out on top. It might look like I'm downgrading my value. People will call it like, I've seen people say, oh yeah, it's the bargain rack. Oh yeah, it's discount. But we make more money than them. They over here happy that they made $30,000 in a week. They're like, I made $30,000 in a week. I don't sell no affordable stuff. I'm like, that's a bad week. We've been doing that all the time. We made $30,000 in a day. And you're over here criticizing me. And that's the weird thing about just like social media, you'll have people who are doing worse than you criticizing you.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, kind of digital products in a nutshell.
Dude, that is so dope, man. Like I've been around like the old online marketing guys, Jonathan Budd. There was like a marketing boom, I guess, maybe like, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. And a bunch of online gurus came out. So how all the gurus are coming out for real estate, these are online marketing gurus. And I started following them and I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't even know what it was. And I'd see these guys, yeah, man, like, oh, I made $22,000 by lunch today. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here? But yeah, they had low ticket, high ticket, everything. But I think in my mind, even when we were creating this, you know, I thought, yeah, it should be affordable for everybody, right? If even your website hosting and your landing pages cost more than what our software costs. So I think that was a game and we kind of picked that up from you, man. I think that's genius. And I guess I probably have seen that approach before, like when they have like a $2 offer or a $7 offer. But I didn't even get the game, even after staring at it for so long. And I think you made it so concise. It's like, man, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I think the best part about it is the value exchange. So people don't feel like you're taking anything from them.
Yeah.
They feel like, and I think that's the way business kind of should be, is it's like a service-based business where you're going to be better off by having come in contact with me. You're going to be in a better position financially by having, even if the stuff doesn't work for you, I didn't rob your pockets. Like, yeah, it doesn't work for everybody, but I would rather you have only paid me $100 and it didn't work for you than you have paid me $5,000 yeah. and it doesn't work for you. Because then your reputation is clean. Like you're in a good position. And the funny thing about it is I was getting some criticism once online by some, I guess, kind of popular dude. And he was like, this dude's out here selling a course on options. You could learn that on YouTube. He was just going in. And then he's like, you know what? How much is he selling that course for? And somebody said $97. He's like, oh, all right. He just changed his whole mindset changes. Like I've only done things to help people, period. Free everything, free podcast, free game. So when I do charge a price, it's still going to be in a situation where I'm going to be helping people. That's always the goal.
I feel good about us with the price and timeline. Go ahead.
No, the funny thing is when I came across Charles, I actually bought his course. And I think my second day after finishing the course, I made like $200. So I'm like, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer
involved. Right.
Somebody was asking me about like the hive mind, right? Like our basic pricing. So somebody was saying, hey, this person keeps calling me and asking me for help with these real estate deals. And they're like, but they won't join. You know, they won't join the hive mind. And I'm like, look, if it's not worth that person to pay you $6 per day to mentor them, to show them how to make $100,000 or $50,000, then you'd rather just work with somebody else. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a low enough price where like, hey, you're going to get way more than you bargained for at the price that we're at. And I feel good about that, man. Like, and if they don't see the value in it, like they're not the kind of people that we're going to be doing a ton of deals with anyway.
And then also, I mean, the cool thing is you leave room for the higher ticket stuff. So it's not really either or.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why these car companies have different brands. They have your low ticket brand, your medium ticket brand, and they also got your luxury brand because you're going to have different consumers for different levels. But the cool thing is people can kind of enter your funnel and they can at least participate in what you have going on. And it's not just like, no, this isn't for y'all. You guys stay over there. It's like they've at least got a chance to taste it, experience it, know that you're genuine, know that you're legit, know that you only like want to see them win. And then if they do want to invest more in themselves, like honestly, their track record that you have, after I get in, I experience Hivemind, I experience the different things you guys are doing or whatever projects you guys have. And then I know that you have something where I can maybe give you $1,000, $2,000, and I can work with you to make the money that you guys are making, which is crazy money. There's value in that. But if you just have somebody say it's either $2,000 or bust, they might not want to take that gamble. They might not want to take that risk. But if you kind of bring them into your family and you drip on them, like I just saw Tasha, she said that she had somebody on her email list for like 2 years. They never bought anything. But at like 2 years, they bought like her highest ticket course, her highest ticket coaching program. And I want to bring people into the ecosystem. That's what I've always wanted to do. So we did it through the investment club for stocks, the investment club for real estate, different things we've done that now we're kind of a family. It's like I meet people and it's like, we're cool. It's we're all in this together, really.
I think one of the coolest things, I always tell Anthony all the time, because when I found you on Twitter last June, and then I made my own course. It didn't really do well, but I was just giving it away for free because I had a product on the end that I wanted to sell. So if they come in, they can come and get the product for free. And then I would sell them Lister data on the back end. And I told Anthony about this. I'm like, hey, we need to get some more digital products out there. Opportunity came for Hivemind. We're like, dude, this is a digital product subscription. We literally jumped on this thing. Like as soon as we saw it within 10 minutes, it was a no brainer because I tell people all the time is that a lot of people can't see opportunity because they're not wearing the right glasses. And products like yours, it puts a different perspective in front of your face that you can see opportunity differently. And when we saw this opportunity, we jumped on it because like, man, you opened my eyes to it, you and Chris, and it was just like, we're doing this. And I don't care what it takes, we're doing this because I've seen them come from nothing and do this and be successful. We're going to do this low ticket, reach the people, reach the masses and help as many people as possible because that's the way that it works, man. You got to help as many people as possible. And it's been a crazy, crazy journey now. So we started Hivemind 7 months ago in February. So it's just been, we've seen a lot of progression And with our product, like people, we're for all types of businesses, and seeing different types of businesses succeed using our product, or just cutting out time, or just stuff that's monotonous, it can literally save you so much time. So it's been exciting. Like, we had our first user hit on 100 grand in June, and that was literally 4 months after we started this thing. So to see somebody accelerate that fast, and he didn't join when we first started, he joined probably early April. So for him to be there in less than 2 months and have a six-figure month, like, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. Yeah. And like, now it's like, if one person can do it, 1,000 people can do it. 1,000 people could do it. Right. 10,000 people could do it. And now it's just trying to reach the masses and have them have that acceleration and reach those high goals themselves as a business.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy what technology allows us to do. Because you said, like, people have started from nothing, and you don't need anything to create a digital product, really. In a lot of instances, I know what you guys have going on, I think there was like an initial upfront investment, but outside of that, you really don't have to come out of pocket. And I think that for the longest time, people who were entrepreneur minded were blocked from actually getting into the space. Like, e-com opened that door, because I live in Southern California. To get a storefront in Southern California, my wife was looking at least, they wanted like $7,000 just for the lease. Like, people don't even make $7,000 a month. Granted, once you're in business, yeah, but you got to have the runtime. You got to have several months of that $7,000 set aside, because when you first open the doors in your business, you might not be able to cover all the overhead. And so e-com allows you to open a storefront with no rent. That's another thing we don't talk about. I don't got to pay Gumroad nothing. And I mean, I do to a certain extent, because they take fees, but there's no like upfront fee. They just take a percentage of whatever we sell, which is usually not that much, but now people are even going away from that. But there's no rent, there's no utilities, there's no custom, there's no actual like workers. I don't have to hire any people to check out people. I don't have to hire security to watch people while they shop through the store. They've literally just taken the barrier to commerce and just destroyed it. And now people who have ideas can make money, as opposed to people who maybe have come from a different country, and so they have all this financial backing, or maybe they have their parents who can give them a fat loan. Like, a lot of us aren't sitting on that. We can be that now, but we didn't have that. And so we were just forced to have a job. Now we're not really forced to have a job. You can create something tomorrow. In fact, when I decided to leave my job, I want to say that's when I started creating even more. I was like, you know what? All right, the sales are one thing, but I need recurring revenue. I need to have more things that are recurring, that then I can replace the recurring paycheck. And so that's what I did. I just created it. I didn't have to think, I didn't have to pay anybody. I just, boom, here we go.
So you have a tweet that says, online money is like having a store in every city in America that always open, and it has no overhead and the self-checkout.
Yeah. The crazy part about it is, even if you can get a store, like, where we live is, it's a decent area. I think it's a good area. But like, let's say you wanted to have a store on Rodeo Drive, or you wanted to have a store in Costa Mesa, that rent is crazy. You just can't make that kind of money. Like, oh, well, this money isn't for you. But if they have a cell phone, they have your store. Your only responsibility is to market so that they know that you exist. And these days, that's free too. So everything is free. Nothing is costing you money. Because one thing that I struggled with, even, I mean, you know this, in trucking, is, yeah, the revenue is there, but the margins are slow. All right, I'm back. Or at least you guys are back. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's frozen. Okay, I think we're good now.
I'm just looking at a frozen me. But I'm sure we'll work through it. So what I was saying is, like, the revenue is there, but the margin is slim. So even if you do get into these spaces, now you got to pay all these fixed costs. And I tell people, that is why the tech companies that you see are so wealthy. That is why those tech billionaires are so wealthy, because they're operating in a space where, if it's software, you don't have to really pay anything. It duplicates itself. And so you can create one Netflix website. Yeah, there's engineers. Yeah, there's people who put it together, but you're not having to pay for all those different things that can reduce your margins. So now you look at a company like Ford, which I think is like a $10 billion company. And then you look at a company like Zoom, which might be like a $200 billion company. I need to double check that. But I know like Netflix is a massive billion-dollar company. All these tech companies, because of just how the math works, And so you have to adopt that same strategy in your business. I don't like physical products, not unless I can market up heavy. And for the most part, I can't market up heavy because there's a lot of competition in that space. And so I have a bag brand. It's called Views. And I want to say it cost me about $10 per bag plus shipping. So I could kind of come to like $15, and then I got to pay to ship it. And so now I'm over here trying to launch a brand, and the sales were slow. I was trying to sell them at like, I think $40, sales are slow. I dropped it down to $20, sales are okay. I dropped my bags down to $10 and they sold through the roof. I ran out, but I'm taking a loss on every single bag.
Wow.
But I don't have that experience in digital products. And so we are given a huge opportunity to exist in this space called digital products, where all the work is done. I realized that because I used to have another e-com business where I was helping people form LLCs. And I noticed that I would advertise. The advertising would bring in clients, and then I have to stop bringing in clients to actually service the clients. And my thought process was like, you know what? If I never had to stop doing that, if all I had to do was advertise and bring in clients, I can make so much money. And I just always had that thought. And then this came up, and then boom, I hammered it in, because I would advertise, and then people would send me a DM. And then from the DM, I tell them how to do it. And they send me the money through PayPal or whatever. And then I send them this. It was just a really tedious process. Like, all that is time that could be spent marketing and advertising. All that is time that is now, because people don't have to do it anymore. I tell them, link in the bio, they go there. They know how to pay, because they're going to tell them how to pay. They're going to see the description. They're going to see what they're going to get. It's going to deliver it for them through email. If they have any other issues, they can contact customer service at Gumroad or LaunchPass. But eliminating those things is what has allowed us to make money. And people, I think, sometimes think it's just the course. Like, no, it's also the logistics behind that business. It's also the low overhead behind that business. All those things combined allow you to scale so fast. HiveMind, you guys bring in a new client, nothing changes. If you guys have 1,000 people, your life is still the same. But imagine if you had 1,000 one-on-one consults that you had to talk to for an hour every single day. You get burned out. You're like, I don't want to talk to these people anymore. I'm tired. I don't like working, man. I don't. And I don't think any of us really like doing it. I think we just tolerate it. But like, that's the beauty, is HiveMind has scale at infinite value without infinite work. You don't have to do anything different. All you have to do is get people into your system. That's it.
Yeah, man, we're pretty excited about it. Like I said, to grab a new person and to be able to put them into momentum, it's insane. I think what we offer is pretty cool. And, you know, before we created this, we kind of had that mindset. We said, you know what, if we make this and it bombs, well, we have a badass CRM that we can run our own company out of. That's worst case scenario, right? But I think we knew what was going to happen. We have some videos where we kind of predicted the future, and we even recorded them so we can upload them on YouTube, like where the company's headed. And I think pairing a software platform, right? So let's say people that join HiveMind, they become users, they can participate in the affiliate program. So you immediately have a digital product in your hand. Let's say you only sold a handful of those a week. You know, now you have enough to start at least doing some marketing, so you can get yourself into some real estate deals. So I think it's a perfect launch pad to get anybody into any business they want to be in. You know, we just so happen to love real estate because the returns are so crazy.
Yeah, I would say in terms of affiliate marketing, they got to do more than just push links.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like, you guys aren't just pushing links. You guys have a lot that goes into what you're doing. You got the background, that plays a part. You got the shirt on, that plays a part. You got the podcast, that plays a part. You do the calls, that plays a part. And so for you to be a successful affiliate, you got to approach it as an affiliate business, not just an affiliate side hustle that you kind of do, because you're going to get kind of money if you kind of do something. You only get the money if you really go all in. And that's just one thing that I would say, because I know a lot of people, they want to do affiliate. You can make good money in affiliate marketing. Honestly, I'm an affiliate for somebody else, and that takes care of a lot of my expenses. That takes care of a lot of bills. And I put a lot of money aside for my son last year for his investments and his savings accounts, bought a house with that money. So a rental property. So like, there's good money in affiliate marketing if you do it the right way, if you take it serious.
No, I think one thing you taught us as well was just putting content all the time. So I did the math on it. With it, we just started our podcast like for September 1st. As of right now, we're doing 500 pieces of content a week.
Jeez.
Then tell them the better part. How much time is it taking?
Oh, and then we automated everything. So it probably takes, it probably takes about an hour a week to automate like 500 posts a week. So we automated it. And then like I had my VA doing all the content creation, and then I recycle my old content. So it's just a giant recycling machine right here.
I need, honestly, man, I don't know why my people don't listen to you, because you're over there trying to just put them on. I need that in place.
I tell people all the time, like, I don't know, Anthony does the real estate side, and we try and give everybody the game, but like everybody's more receptive to other people. Like, I guess we haven't earned our stripes yet.
No, dude, I think like the way that both of our brain works is so different, but like we're equally like taking off in the opposite direction, like rocket ships. So then the only time we really even talk with each other is just to like build on something else, you know, refine something and then shoot it out. But it's like the machine never stops improving. So he's improving front back end, and I'm improving the front end. And then we're trying to automate everything like entirely. So I'm like, this is, our business is always going to grow and scale, but it's also going to get easier over time instead of harder. And so it's like, if people would just look at the model and then apply it to whatever their business model is, you know, whether you're a roofer or a plumber or, you know, if you have a flower shop or whatever, automate the hell out of it. Automate as much as you can out of everything. So if they would just get close enough, take a look at what we're doing and talking about. I mean, the information's magic, man.
So me and Anthony had a conversation. We talk about it every once in a while, but Anthony says he wants to be done a year from now. Can you kind of go into that, Anthony?
Dude, yeah, man. So I've been doing a construction for a long time. You know, a great week was 1,000, you know, so I'm used to killing myself to make very little amount of money. So when I got into real estate and I saw what was possible, I said, man, I need to find a way to accelerate this as quickly as possible. Like, I need the biggest marketing engine. There was a marketing guru on Clubhouse, and he's like, I spend $100,000 a month on marketing. And then I just thought to myself, like, I feel like that's probably the stupidest thing that I've ever heard a guru say, right? Because me as a marketer, a professional marketer, I would have never let my marketing budget get that high. So I said, how can I build the biggest, fastest, strongest marketing engine and not have to pay for it? And that's what the Hive Mind is. Now I'm getting more leads than I've ever got before, and my marketing budget is still the same as it was my very first day.
That's great.
I have so many leads, in fact, that I'm sharing them with the community, trying to get other people deals, right? So now my marketing engine is never going to stop growing. It's never going to stop going faster, but instead of me actually having to spend on it, it's going to be paying me. So I'm like, this is pretty freaking interesting. So now the biggest problem is I'm going super hard in real estate and software now, like running as fast as I can. But I see like my daughters are getting older. You know, I mean, my son's getting older. You know, my oldest is 14 already. And I'm like, if I keep working like this, I'm not going to kind of have sold off their whole entire childhood. So I gave myself right now a trajectory, and I already talked to my daughters about it too. I'm going to give up like my entrepreneurship journey. I want to be retired by the end of next year. Yeah. I want to be able to take my hands off the wheel as much as possible. And the machine's never going to stop growing, because I don't want to finish selling off the rest of my kids' childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know this machine can run itself now. I'm doing more real estate transactions than I've ever done before, and I'm almost not even participating in them. Like, I'm not having to get on the phone calls or sell them or anything. So yeah, I think I'm going to automate this machine. So it's going to be so refined that I'm just going to press the eject button in, and I'll just like kind of touch things every now and then. But I think any person can do that in their business if they just pay attention and they hop in, they learn from guys like you. They listen to somebody like Daniel, who says, look, man, I can make your whole systems and processes. I've never posted 500 pieces of content in my life. You know, and Daniel automated it down to 500 a week already. So I think it's powerful what we're doing. And I invite other people to take a look at it and just say like, hey, I think what we're talking about collectively here is some next level stuff. I just wish somebody was paying attention.
So one thing I'll commend to you as well is build a community. So I think you mentioned, I don't know where you said this, but when you build a community, your rising stars make themselves known and they come up. So like our real estate killers, since we have a real estate community, are making themselves known to him, where he's like, he has a couple choices to choose from to choose to take that Hive Mind. Like, hey, I can count on these people because I trust them. They've been going hard for us. And same thing with the real estate side, since we're building a community as well. A lot of people that understand the software are making themselves known too. So we have our team. Our team's already built. It's our users. It's amazing to see.
I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Because you guys are both like just crushing it, but you still work together as a team. And what I found is sometimes when you have that, you have people who are just like, you know what? I'm dope on my own. I'm going to just go build my own. What keeps you guys together? What keeps you guys working together and seeing the value in each other?
I got the answer to that one. That's an amazing question. Nobody has ever asked that, man, out of I don't know how many interviews. I'll tell you what the answer is right now. It's probably not what anybody would expect. It's pure laziness. There's stuff that I absolutely hate to do, and then there's stuff that he absolutely hates to do. So we're like standing back to back, you know, shooting in opposite directions. And we're not saying like, hey, how many have you got? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're right. just working. Yeah, because it's like, I'm not going to do that. And I know he's not going to do what I do. So it's just like, we just filled in each other's like weak spot. And then that's how I picture the hive mind, like kind of like neurons connecting inside of a brain. So every person that comes on board is the most intelligent person at one thing. So everything's just connecting to the hive mind. It's just becoming more intelligent as more people come on board. But that's all it is, man. It's finding the man next to you that kills it at what you hate doing or what you're not good at. So instead of like working on your weaknesses, it's like really just path of least resistance is connecting to the man next to you that can kill it at that with little effort.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'll say to that too, is that I don't have to question his work ethic. I know the dude's running all day long. And then like, I went to his house and he's like, I got to go do this, this, and this. I'm like, good. Cause I got to stay at home and I got to do this, this, and this.
Yeah, so I went to go crush it in the street and he's like, I got to stay on the computer.
I'm at his house working on the computer, and then this dude's out running around, running errands and getting contracts and stuff like that. And like, we're both like even we're together, we're doing opposite things. So we're like,
yeah.
It was kind of, that was kind of funny to me, because like I said, that just happened like a month ago. And like, he's like, I need like 4 hours to knock out everything I need to do today. He's like, I got 4 hours. I got to knock out everything I got to do outside on the road. And then we split.
Yeah. And I would never do 4 hours of computer work. Like if something's going to eat up 4 hours of my day on the computer, yeah, I'm just going to just like send that to Daniel or send it to anybody else that's not me. Because if it had to be between me sitting there for 4 hours to do computer stuff, I would just not do it at all. Like yeah. Even a software company, you know, like, so what would keep Hivemind from collapsing? Like if me and Daniel got into some kind of dispute, I told him, I'm like, I'm just never, ever, ever going to do what you do. It's not going to happen.
I think that's key, man. And then you guys are aiming at such a big number. Cause I know Daniel, he's mentioned like his plans for the company and just the growth. It's one of those things you can't really get to on your own. Like you have to have a team. And then the goal is so big that it makes sense to split it. So it's like, hey, if we get to the optimal point that we're aiming at, I'm okay with half of that number.
Everything we do is a JV. Like we JV with our users 50-50 or 3-3-3. And then the software, the affiliate pays out almost half of what we're making. So everything is based on an equal exchange from top to bottom.
So I think it was huge, because I've done entrepreneurship by myself or with a small amount of people. And it's like, you feel like you're not going hard enough. I feel sometimes in entrepreneurship, you're like, am I going hard enough to make this a success? Because I feel like sometimes people in business, like they don't go hard enough. Like you got to go all in, you got to know what your goal is, and you got to make a goal big enough that you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because if you're not going so hard, what's the point? You might as well go back to the job and go back to the 9-to-5 and put in your time and just call it a day. Like if you're not making big enough goals as an entrepreneur, you're not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think somebody like myself, I don't have any hobbies, right? My friends go hunting and fishing and they're all into it, and they get these awesome scopes and they got all their gear and they're trying to find a buy a little ranch and put a hunting thing on. I'm like, I'm buying a ranch because I'm flipping it. You know, I'd like to shoot guns, but I don't have too many hobbies like that where I'm going to take up 72 hours of my life to go and lay in the woods in the cold and stuff and try to shoot a bear. Like, I'm just not interested, you know? And what I really am interested in is business and marketing and systems and processes and software and distribution and content. You know, that stuff, I could talk about it for 48 hours straight and never get bored. So it's like, there's a song, it's called Buy Dirt. And I'm like, man, this is the Hive Mind theme song, because he's like, do something that you love and call it work. And he says, get you a little family, you know, buy some dirt, put a little fence around it. He says, that's how you find happiness. And I'm like, man, that's a bad song. But yeah, I think what I'm doing, I absolutely love it. I never get tired of it. I think that's what that keeps me propelled. Like from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed at night, I'll be like a machine, like a computer program that got stuck into the on position, and it's hard for me to turn it off. So I do a lot of meditation and fasting, you know, things to like ground myself so that I can work those hours nonstop, because I love it so much. It's hard for me to turn it off. So that's a big part of me, like unplugging from the system very soon, is so that I could do more of what I love to do with the rest of my life.
So Charles, what I know you've grown a lot over, I think you've been in entrepreneurship for 4 years, started with a Thai company, kind of moved on from that. Where do you see yourself going? I know it's like one of the key asks, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I know a lot of times we don't know.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, dude. Somebody at the meeting, they asked Charles, they said, hey, what would you do if you lost it all by tomorrow? And it's funny because my brain tried to like find some references or see some visions, and there was nothing there because I'm like, there's no way this man could lose it all. Everything he's built has been invested in cyberspace. Like, he's built a skyscraper in cyberspace, you know? And I think that's fascinating, man, to have positioned yourself like that. So based on Daniel's question, yeah, I would like to know where you're headed next and what's next.
I think there's a lot of money in software and creating like some solution for a problem that can be digitized. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, I look at a lot of companies and I was like, you know what, I had that idea. And so kind of like I used to live in downtown LA and I used to wonder why all these restaurants didn't deliver. And now you have all these just individual companies that deliver food and they're $1 billion companies. And so what happens, in my opinion, I think when you reach a number that you don't think is possible, you start looking at other numbers that might not seem possible. When I was younger, I asked my mom, I said, how much money is $1 million? And she said, more money than you can make in a lifetime. And I was like, that's interesting because I've done that. So it's like, all right, so what's the next goal? Like, let's see what can we do to get billions. And so that's, I think, where my real focus is the $1 billion number. I would love to say I want to do some real estate development, I want to buy some things like that, but it just seems, man, so much like a headache. I've had tenants and it's just not fun. It's another low margin business where you have a situation, even flipping a house can be low margin until you get your systems properly correct, like properly where they need to be. That's why a lot of people, they'd rather wholesale than flip real estate. Because what happens is when people see you making money in a space, they rush to kind of get a piece of what you're making. And so that's what I've noticed in being in rental properties. And a rental property, the wholesaler finds a deal, he's going to squeeze out a lot of the margin. Then you got the contractor, they're going to squeeze out a lot of the margin. Then you got a tenant who's going to be complaining about something every other month. And so my thing is, I got to find the next thing that's going to be a high margin business, and it's not going to be something where I'm going to be getting raped under the guise of making money, kind of like my truck right now. I make a little bit of money, they take a lot of money. And so I'm just like spinning my wheels, but technology has never done that to me. And so I think the money's in tech. I think the money's in technology. The money's in creating solutions that can be digitized. And that's where I think I want to aim, is the $1 billion stuff, not the $1,000 stuff, not the $100 stuff. That's why we have vending machines. I haven't been to those vending machines in forever. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would I take a whole day to go drive around, get sweaty, pick up snacks and do all this other stuff when I could just be over here flicking a few keys and making some money? I'd rather do the flicking keys thing and make that high margin money than the 50% margin. But then after you deduct all your expenses and your labor, now it's a 10% margin business.
So I had the conversation with my brother. He's like, Why don't you do real estate and try and make some wholesale money? And I'm like, I'm playing at a different level. If you understand the hive mind and where it's going, I'm playing a $1 billion game with the hive mind. And it needs all my focus. If I split focus, I've done it before, I've done it in the past, you don't get the best results because you're focusing on two different businesses. So I told, this is what makes our partnership work with Anthony, is Anthony does the real estate. Anything real estate, I push it to him. I do push it to him because the real estate, yes, it's important. There's going to be large amounts of money being made on that side. But with the software is the $1 billion play. That's the $1 billion play. And we're not playing with single families. We're not playing with multifamilies. We're not playing with all this stuff. We're playing a $1 billion game just by messing with software. One of our competitors, all they do is just websites. They've been around for maybe 5-6 years. They're valued at $100 million. $100 million. And I'm like, we do unlimited websites. We could easily be $100 billion company in less than 5 years. So there's no point of me trying to get a wholesale deal, flip a mobile home. Like, I'm doing bigger things than that. And I'm playing a different game than them. Not saying what they're doing isn't fruitful. It's just I'm playing at a different level. And I know I am. So I don't have to play flipping homes and doing what he does, because what he does, he can do all, he can handle all that. I'm good. I'm gonna play the $1 billion game, and he can mess with the real estate.
Yeah. So I think you have to kind of get your experience up, and Anthony's been doing this for a while. I've done different levels of real estate, so I'm just kind of doing my very first flip, and it's a headache. But I think once I continue to do it, there could be money in there, but still, I mean, I'm going to do it. So the thing is like, I have a lot of businesses. All right. I'll probably still be doing these things, but that's not what I wake up and aspire to do. I don't wake up like, man, I can't wait to do that. I wake up like, you know what? We need to figure out how to make a billion. That's it. And so that's what software is going to do. I don't know if you can flip that many homes to be a billionaire, but maybe you can. Maybe you got to just flip some larger business buildings, and maybe that's the goal. But software, I think that's the most obvious path to getting there.
I believe you, man. I think that's why we're here now. I'll tell you what the hive mind, what we're doing, right, is I've always done the path of least resistance for the most amount of return. So I have a bunch of friends that have roofing companies, and these guys are all millionaires. They have big, big giant houses. They do all residential, right? So these guys are doing 80 roofs a month, right? And I don't know what they're making, a couple hundred grand or whatever for the month. I'll do one commercial building in 45 days and make 200, right? So, and I'll do two roofs a year maybe, right? And that's all I'm good. I had a great year. I did two jobs, and my friends, you know, doing 800 jobs a year. I can imagine all of the logistics and trucks and tractors and trailers and lifts and accidents and mistakes and insurance and all that. So I went right for that. So then now getting into real estate, I'm a licensed general contractor and home builder. So I thought I was going to flip houses, right? I saw it on TV one time. And it turns out you're just a high paid general contractor, right? Mm. Oh, my guy can do it cheaper than that. So here you are negotiating with contractors, going to Home Depot, picking stuff up. So that turned into like, I already know this game. I'm out. So I did a land deal, you know, made a couple down land deals, now over 100, you know, now we're pushing closer to 800 on one deal profit. I had a double close that I missed a couple weeks ago that I was going to make 800 profit in one day. So we're starting to get ourselves involved now. And I have one in Castroville coming up where I should make somewhere between 3 and 5. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, if it's that easy to make $1 million, right? How many transactions could I facilitate all on my own? Let's say I just started doing marketing. I pulled a list. There's like 2,000 acre ranches. We're going to start actually calling that one. But let's say I can make $1 to $2 million per deal. At some point, it's still a sucker's game, right? Because I'm working 80 hours a week because I'm working on $24 million deals. So I make $24 million. But here I am now, walking ranches, shaking hands, right? I'm stuck in my full-time job again. So what's the very best thing that I could do to facilitate more transactions without selling off all of my time? I could clone myself. So that's what the hive mind is. You see all these brains all around us. Now we're putting other people on, having them go get the deals, right? So the software is gathering the audience. It's pulling the people together. People are starting to pull their capital together, their ideas, their marketing. So now I'm going to teach the whole entire hive mind how to do multi-million dollar deals. So now we're 50-50 on thousands of deals all over the country. So it's not going to take very long for that to lead to $1 billion, even just on the real estate side, even outside of the software.
So my goal as a software site is to get as many people as possible into the system. The rising stars go to Anthony, become rising stars on the real estate side. And then this is where we're a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's like it's an ever-feeding machine, because as more people come in, they invest their capital with us by subscribing to the memberships. And then once the numbers get high enough per month, we're going to start dropping that into deals and covering lots of deals where we can make, you know, $1 to $5 to $10 million per deal.
Minnesota. How did you guys meet?
Apartment complex. Sorry?
How did you guys meet?
We met in a group, man, a paid group. It was a paid mastermind, $500 on Facebook.
We bought the same course.
Yeah, dude. And I had
was it on land? Or something different?
Real estate.
It was just a wholesaling course, but everybody was always talking about houses. And me and Daniel recognized that we were both interested in land. So we were just inboxing each other, like, hey, what do you know about land? So we started getting on the phone, land. We're the only ones that kind of saw that bigger picture right from the beginning. So that's how we first started talking a lot.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, man. I think we're something ferocious is coming on. And like I said, as people come into the hive mind, even like yourself, you know, working with us and helping us kind of get the word out there. If we can help build out some systems for you, whatever we could do to kind of reciprocate that energy, man, we appreciate it. And we appreciate you, you know, being a mentor to us and helping us bring this thing to life early. So we would like to work with you at some capacity. If you're heading to $1 billion, I mean, let's catch the same jet.
100%.
We appreciate your coming out, man. Is there any final thoughts you want to say? Your final gem, final drop, final quote?
Man, I don't know if there's anything that I haven't said. I think it's always the same thing. The most important thing is taking action. I somebody sent me a text message on Monday and they were saying something like, you need to organize your systems and structure these things better, or else you're not going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And I think that they were wrong. I think what allows us to accomplish these things is our fearlessness and taking action and doing things. What allows Anthony to be successful is he takes action. He's getting out there, he's putting the work in, he's putting feet to the pavement. What's allowing Daniel to do these things is he takes action. He's everywhere. He's on TikTok, he's on Instagram, he's everywhere. He's at events, he's hosting events. You guys hosted an event and the company was 6 months old. That's action. That's not structure. That's not whatever. But the structure wraps itself around the action. And so, in my opinion, the most important thing that you can do is put yourself out there and continue to promote, to continue to add value to the world and let the structure come. But don't sit down and plan and figure things out and create that business plan and do all these things that don't look like doing business, that don't look like taking action, because the action is what's going to actually bring everything full circle. The action is going to show you what you should be structuring. The action is going to get you the sales, get you the customers, get you the following, get you the community. It all stems down to taking action and doing things. And that's why you see me posting, creating, speaking. The speaking engagements beget more speaking engagements. Like, that's the craziest thing to me is now everybody's hitting me up like, hey, you want to come speak? You want to come speak? You want to come speak? All because I did these events. I recorded them. I posted them. And it just brings more success to you. So your success is going to be predicated by how much action you take, period. And so if you're not taking action, you already know what's going to happen. You're not going to get any success. And it's as simple as that. It's not overly complicated. It's not overly fancy. I just specialize in taking action.
Like I said at the beginning of the call, man, I said, you are Mr. Take Action. And what, I tell you, one breakthrough that you helped me have is that I was kind of like self-conscious of promoting my business on my social media pages. And I don't even know why. I guess like I kind of don't care. Like I said, I'm gonna go so hard. If anybody participates, doesn't participate, I'm not looking back to seeing like who's following. And ever since we got started hanging around you, I started just promoting the hell out of my stuff on social. And I'm getting inboxes all the time now. Like, hey, what's up with Hive Mind? Hey, what's up with Hive Mind? How can I get them? What do I got to do? I'm like, oh shoot, it's working. It's like working like magic, man. And it is just about, yeah, just pulling the trigger and doing it. And I think a lot of people spend their time, like you said, they're trying to write the perfect white paper and the perfect business plan and set up even the perfect automations inside of the software, so much so that it's affecting their business because they're not taking action. So I think that's probably the only thing that I am good at. If I feel like I mastered one thing, and I'm just going to take action. I don't have to know everything. Like you just say, hey, run to that fence and I'll just take off running before you tell me like what the game plan was. So I feel you on that big time.
So my quote, everybody always asks me like, what's your quote that you always get by? And my quote that I'm going to coin is, you build your infamy off the content you produce. And I got that from you and Chaw and Chris, because you guys just put so much good content out there and people just follow you. Like, can you tell your story about you riding your bike in the neighborhood that just happened 2 days ago?
This is
Anthony hasn't heard this yet.
It actually happens quite a lot. Like, if I'm in like the airport, or if I'm in like a conference, or just like sometimes just on the street. Like, I was walking in DC, somebody stopped me. But this time it was kind of, I wouldn't say it's weird. It was just different because I was in my own neighborhood. And so I'm like riding my scooter up the street. And I see like some people kind of playing, and it was kind of late, so I didn't expect to see people out. And I'm riding, and I hear somebody yell out, Todd. And so like I looked over my shoulder and I saw like a dude out there. And so I slowed down and I turned around, and he was like, hey man, he was like, yeah. He was like, I knew you lived in this community. I've seen I saw the Lexus, I saw the Tesla. He's like, I wanted to reach out to you. I didn't want to do the internet thing. I just knew whenever I ran into you, I was gonna speak to you. He said, I took your course, and he said, your course is one of the first ones that I've taken, and I was able to use my options money to put on the down payment on this home. And I was like, it was so crazy to me, because California real estate is not cheap. Like, I'm pretty sure his home was like $400,000 to $500,000. And then also like he had his kids there. So he had like three girls. They're all riding around. And so it's like, that was one piece. But then also I saw the actual home. And so sometimes people will tell me like, oh yeah, I took your course. I paid off this amount of debt. Oh, I took your course and I bought a tour. I got an Airbnb. And those are cool. But to literally see it in front of you and then see the family that it impacted, that was just, it was amazing. I think it kind of put another battery in my back to continue to promote and advertise and do what I'm doing. But the crazy thing is I've never really raised the price. So people are doing, and I think that's one of the things that I hold on to, is people are able to do these monumental things. And I've never said, all right, the course is 10 grand now. Because you can make 10 grand. Like, no, it's still $97. The price is what the price is. Because for a few reasons, I know that I'm adding value, but I know the strategy works. And I know that if I can display that somebody was able to get that much value, I'm probably gonna get way more people that are gonna buy it for $97 than if I were to price it at 10,000, where they were like, you know what, I would like that, but I'll just do it a different way. I'll just go and get my down payment money a different way. So I want people to go through me, but it's just cool to have that connection and see those people in real life.
Well, I think we're gonna have to do this again. Maybe I'll have to do an update video, but I really appreciate everything that you've done and everything you've done for the community as a whole, just because you've opened a lot of doors for people, including us. So we really appreciate that. And it's opened so many doors for us as a whole. So we appreciate everything you've done, and we hope you continue to change a lot of people's lives.
Dope. I appreciate you guys, man. I appreciate all the kind words.
Yeah, thanks for coming out here, dude. This one was super fun, man. This was amazing. Do you want to tell people where they can find you online, all your social channels, links, whatever you got? We'll put some down in the show notes as well.
Charles.
Huh?
Your name is Charles.
You know, people call me different things. It doesn't matter. But
like Instagram page Todd for 4 months.
Instagram page is at Todd.capital. The options course can be found at optionswithtodd.com. And all the links to everything that we do, including the podcast, the blog, that kind of stuff, can all be found on the Todd.capital Instagram page. So the Instagram page is pretty much where everything is. It's kind of like a web page these days, your Instagram is. Mm-hmm. But that's it. You can email me at info@capitaltodd.com if you have any direct questions that cannot be answered by Gumroad or LaunchPass customer service.
And then we're going to drop the link for the tcmastermind.biz as well. Indeed. For the mastermind. Shout out to the mastermind.
And then we'll also put your link to the Hive Mind underneath here too. That way, in case anybody wants to join your team, boom.
And we have you guys, I want to say it's Tuesday, right? We're locked in for Tuesday. Are we locked in for Tuesday?
I actually can't do Tuesday.
All right, well, find a day that works.
I had a family emergency come up. I'm flying out Monday.
Oh, well, I don't know when we're going to do it, because I'm flying out like Wednesday. So we'll work it out, man.
We appreciate your time.
All right, you guys.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate you.
Have a good day, gentlemen. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for being on here.